the Magic Pisces podcast.
Before the ayahuasca, before the clear blue sky.
Magic Pisces podcast. It's been quite some time. I keep meaning to get back into podcasting on this podcast, the Magic Pisces podcast, but I just don't. I'm just kind of lazy. There's no other reason. And just a lot of resistance. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should start a new podcast and, you know, change the name or reinvent it or get some new art or whatever. Call it All Sides Perspectives Podcast or something like that. I'm like, no, the same thing will happen. Like, I'll just get kind of lazy again, you know. I'll start to build up a little bit of a following and then just, it'll just fizzle out. I know myself well at this point. So there is a lot to discuss. I don't think I have released since October 7th. I think I released maybe in September. Maybe I did. I could check. What I'm referring to is, yeah, it looks like I released on the 26th. Of September, so it's been like, what's it, like 7 months? I pay for the podcast hosting. It's like $20 a month. It adds up, so maybe I should release more often. But I released before the October 7th Hamas attack and haven't commented since, and I've just been trying to not get triggered by the videos I watch on YouTube, basically, and trying to, you know, honor all sides as much as possible. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to respect certain points of view. It was interesting, though, because I was flipping through YouTube and there's this video, cops nearly kill, K-I-L-L, capital kill, professor, for filming the attack. Looks like they don't know how to spell. Cops nearly kill protester for filming them attack pro-Palestinian student protest. And I'm like, okay, what's this? Because there's just, it'll just take you down you start clicking around on YouTube and there's just new rabbit holes that open. Right. And so I think there's like 28 million YouTube channels or maybe more. It's ridiculous. So remember back in the day when there were like 13 channels and if you had cable, it would be like you'd have like 40 channels or 35 channels and you'd be like, I have so many channels. And then it got to be like into the hundreds. And now it's like there's like 25 million channels. Give me a second. Okay. Now there's like 25 million channels. I just checked. There are 113.9 million active YouTube channels. So compare that to 40 years ago. Remember the cable salesman would come over and sell you cable, and you got that brown box, and there were like 40 channels on it. There's everything now. That's just YouTube. So you go on like the porn channels, remember? And then you see like the blurred out dirty channels on cable. And now you just go on Pornhub or YouPorn and there's another million channels a pop, right? So there are just a lot of rabbit holes to get sucked into. So I'm watching this, I see this headline pop up and about this cops who almost killed this professor. And I mean, in about, I don't know, 3 seconds, I just want the cops to be killed. It's incredibly graphic. It's really disturbing and sad and disheartening to watch, right? And so what I've talked about this before multiple times, but there's the far leftist energy and the far right backlash. And so you're starting to see that. And I should really just if you take it out far left, far right, whatever, it's just like the extremes, right? And it's the two extremes that are really in so many ways two sides of the same coin. And what I saw here with these fucking pigs, these fucking piece of shit fucking pigs, was just this, like, it's like this 60-something-year-old guy. You know, he's probably a leftist professor, you know, and he's got his phone out and he's doing his little duty by videotaping the cops being unjust or whatever. And I get it. Go for it. Whip out your camera and go for it, you know? But one fat fucking piece of shit cop just starts, they basically just beat him to the ground. And this one other cop comes along and drops his knee into the rib cage. And then they drag his fucking limp body away and throw him in a paddy wagon. And it's, it was some Southern Illinois University chapter, I believe. I believe it was in St. Louis. It happened. You can Google it. But it was just like, it was the worst. It was the absolute worst thing to watch. I was just like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you, cops. And, you know, I've been saying this a lot, or at least thinking this to myself a lot, and that is the notion and or fact that there are a hell of a lot of people currently gambling with their souls, rolling the karmic dice all over the place, and it is often those who are ideologically driven and, you know, universe, God, he, she, its spirit is gonna get you. You will be dealt with. You know, and I use myself as an example. Like, I was talking shit back in the beginning, the early days of the Magic Pisces podcast. I remember, I still feel more or less the same way I did feel, the way I felt during the whole COVID thing regarding what was happening or what I thought was happening. But, you know, I used some coarse language, and I was pointing my finger a lot, and I was saying all this anti-vax stuff, which, you know, I'm not exactly backing down from that. But, you know, I ended up with like a 2-year-long case of long COVID. You know, karma, perhaps. I thought I was in the clear. I thought I had made it through COVID, and then I got walloped. I got my whole family. I got my whole freaking family sick. My two nieces, my nephew, my brother, and his wife. Christmas 2021 was canceled because of Dave. And you know, I was resting on my laurels. I wasn't eating healthy. I wasn't paying as much attention or taking the precautions that I know some people were taking. And I wasn't being. This was kind of past the main COVID part. I was pretty damn cautious during the main COVID part, but the initial onset or the initial wave. But, you know, hey, I got walloped. And looking back on it, like, I was gambling with my soul. You know, I really was. And it's different. Taking a stand for what's right is different from gambling with your soul. And you could argue back then, I was somewhat ideologically driven. I was being hypnotized, as my friend Greg says. Everybody's being hypnotized by something, and it's in a lot of cases that is the case. That is very often the case. We're all being hypnotized by something. And with 119 million YouTube channels, it's 119 million opportunities to be hypnotized. And so, you know, I'm flipping through and I'm just seeing this video, and it's just like, it's awful. And then there's this kind of new rabbit hole that opens. I like to watch the Young Turks. The Young Turks are a cool, I guess you call them far leftist channel. They have like 6 million subscribers. Anna Kasparian, I forget the guy's name. The guy's Muslim. You know, just card carrying leftists or far leftists. But I like their channel, and I was just watching a video earlier, and he was just talking about how basically the media is just they're stoking the fire. They're stoking the flames. They're creating this, you know, he said, she said, thing, and it's just making everyone hate each other. You know, and he just made some really he just made some really interesting points in the video, and Google around, you can find it, the Young Turks. I'm not gonna paraphrase or reiterate any of it. But it was just a really that's really the part that kind of hit home. It's like there are these mainstream media, almost gods, that are pitting different segments of the population against one another, and then there's no real discourse or real discussion that happens as a result of that. And gambling with their souls, you know? And it was really interesting because in this video, cops nearly kill professor for filming them attack pro-Palestinian student protesters. If I remember, I'll put the link in the show notes. But he was basically saying, and the hosts are very obviously left-leaning, because I'm reading through the comments, and it's just, you know, comments that are reflective of a certain viewpoint. And at the 6-minute mark, he goes, "I don't think Biden even cares about being reelected. It's like, I think all that he cares about is continuing to stoke the flames." And it was just like, bam. And so it's interesting, because there seems to be this almost collective coming to their sensesness, if that makes sense. There's just a lot more people just going, this doesn't add up. And that's why it's interesting to see. Several episodes ago, I was talking about, I postulated that you were going to start to see unlikely alliances. And that is, in fact, happening. So you see Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks now acknowledging that Donald Trump's economy was way better than the economy we're currently in. And I was just thinking, during the summer of 2020, I could get, I think, 5 mangoes for $4 on sale in the summertime, or 4 mangoes for $5, or maybe it went back and forth between them. Now a mango's like $3. And so the economy was better. And so she is way better. And so she's saying, and how much was gas? Like $2.50, something like that? And you get to where gas is $5 and you forget that it was even $3 or $2. You forget that $3 was expensive. But she's not singing Donald Trump's praises or anything, but she's giving credit where credit is due, or failing to condemn where condemnation is deemed necessary by many. That would probably be a better way of saying it. She also has an episode where she says, "Don't call me a birthing person. I'm a woman. I don't want to be referred to as a person who has a womb, or a person who has a uterus, or a birthing person. I am a woman." And so who does she? She then gets attacked by all these people on the far left for wanting to be called a woman. And she is a woman, right? So I guess the point is that many things can be true at once. There are so many things that can be true at the same time. And if you're not interested in facts, if you're interested in defending your point of view, that is when you start to gamble with your soul, because that's the ego doing the thing that the ego does. And so I've really been enjoying the different, like, it was really, for me, it was refreshing to hate cops again. to see this video and be like, I hate those fucking cops. I hope those cops die. I hope the leftists, I'm not even going to say anymore. I'm not going to say anything else, but I hope that, you know, some shit goes down there with the police. And, you know, I was talking years ago during the George Floyd thing, said, watch out when you're singing to defend, when you're chanting to defund the police. So multiple things can be true at once. So it could be a pretty bad idea overall to defund the police and to demonize cops across the board. And cops can be complete fascist pieces of fucking shit. And the more cops, very often, the safer neighborhoods are, particularly in the inner city neighborhoods, right? So Hamas can be pure motherfucking evil, pure motherfucking evil, and Israel's retaliatory attacks can be just as evil. Calling for Antifada is probably not the best thing to do because it, in a lot of ways, means kill the Jews. And Israel, you know, can still, can Israel could have been far too quote-unquote reactionary to the evil that was Hamas, or that is Hamas. I do find the whole, you know, there's this video, I don't know if you saw the video with the college girl who's, her last name is, I think it's Slutsky, and she's outside the, I think it's at Columbia University, one of the, it's an Ivy League university. And so she's basically demanding food and water be brought to the protesters and referring to it, because otherwise they'll starve and they'll die of hunger and thirst. And then she also equates it to we're demanding humanitarian aid. So she's equating being a Ivy League student who's blowing off class with what's happening in Gaza. Like, we need humanitarian aid. Bring us some sandwiches and water. And the reporter that's kind of, he's just asking these really kind of matter of fact questions, and her response, it's just like, I don't think there could be a more entitled human being literally in the entire planet. And then she's got the behind her, there's this pretty obviously gay dude with like a belly shirt with the Hamas scarf, you know, draped around his head. Now, any idea what would happen to a homosexual in the hands of Hamas? If any idea? Or a trans person? So that is, again, multiple things can be true at once. That could be construed as idiocy, and I get it. You're like, yes, let's stand up for the oppressed. But Hamas are like literally the least gay friendly people on the planet. They're the least liberal people that could ever exist. They're like, we'll burn you so and so's to the ground. And then, you know, people can be misguided. So I remember in 2001, when 9/11 attacked, being one of those people that was like sympathetic of Bin Laden, and I remember saying that, in front of a bunch of kids that I taught that I believed that George W. Bush was every bit as evil as Osama bin Laden. And I don't believe that to be the case any longer. It's fine if you do, but I just don't. And saying it with conviction and watching Michael Moore, you know, I was watching Michael Moore movies, you know, Bowling for Columbine and at that time, you know, Fahrenheit 9/11. And I have another episode where I talk about how my sort of divorce from the, or my separation from the far left kind of began in the Bowling for Columbine area when my neighbor, who was this really good guy, set me straight regarding one of the parts in the Bowling for Columbine movie. And then I just started to see Michael Moore for the fat piece of shit that he is. Multiple things can be true at once. But you know, I was, this is way before social media. And for me, way before sobriety, right? So I'm just this complete alcoholic, like, nut job. And I thought I was the most right person in the entire world, when really I was just one of the most righteous, self-righteous people in the whole world. So I understand what it's like to think in those sorts of jaded terms, particularly at that age, because a lot of these people are teenagers, still teenagers, if not early 20s. And this was before social media and before TikTok and before 119 million YouTube channels and before these rabbit holes, right? All of these different rabbit holes, right? And so I think that the only that there are to go down, and the only way for us to save the freaking species at this point is by having conversations with one another. And talking things out and sharing with one another why it is that we feel why we do. So many times, the reasons we feel the way we do have to do with what we saw on our screens. They very rarely have to do with what we read anymore. It has to do with what we see on our screens. Admit it. I admit it. I get sucked down the rabbit hole on YouTube real quick. And I've gambled with my soul in the process. You know, so I've just been trying to play my guitar as much as possible and surf as much as possible and focus on my coaching as much as possible and to just be a good human being as much as possible. And when I catch myself not being the best human being, I promptly admit that I was wrong. Step 10 of the 12 steps. And as I was talking about before, it's interesting to see these unlikely alliances. So I mentioned Anna Kasparian, who is singing. She's acknowledging that the economy during Trump was way better than it is now. And I've seen her on Tim Pool's podcast. And Tim Pool, by the way, skater. I didn't know. I was watching this video and he's playing a game of skate. He's got this big mini ramp thing in his garage, Tim Pool, he's considered like a quote unquote right wing nut, but he's actually kind of like me, like a liberal, like sort of center leftist, like you do your thing, libertarian type, like you do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. And so he's got Anna Kasparian on the Tim, it's called the Timcast, I believe, Tim Pool. And they're getting along on most things and agreeing to disagree on others, and they're becoming friends. And I've also seen Blair White, who is a trans woman kind of conservative, on Tim Pool's podcast, right? And so now you've got these supposed TERFs, right? Like Anna, what's her name? Anna Scalia, something like that. She's TERF, trans, what's TERF stands for? Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. So she's considered a trans. She's really just this, or a TERF. She's just really this really hot lesbian chick that is critical of a lot of the cuckoo for Cocoa Puff shit you see in the far leftist world. And so she's got Buck Angel, who is one of the first trans men. He's like a trans grandpa, a transpa. She's got Buck Angel on her channel and Chloe Cole. And Chloe Cole is She was an autistic girl, and she had a double mastectomy when she was 16 years old by Kaiser Permanente, and her voice is now permanently deep, and she has no breasts. Maybe she has fake ones now, but she has Asperger's, and had convinced herself because of TikTok that she was trans, and convinced her parents of the same, and her parents convinced the doctors, and she's been mutilated. That can be true also. That shit can be the only place I'm reluctant to budge is in trans ideology or gender ideology. Like, gender ideology is, I'm sorry, if you have a problem with me having a problem with gender ideology, then please check yourself. I'm talking about the ideology. Talk about gambling with your soul. So Chloe Cole, the Chloe Coles of the world, can be mutilated, and trans people can be real, and there can be a social contagion aspect, and there can be detransitioners, and their voices can very oddly be silenced for whatever reason. So multiple things can be true at once, and I am finding it more and more my duty, first of all, to kind of stay out of things as much as possible, but while at the same time seeking to know the truth rather than seeking to defend my point of view. And this is another thing that I noticed about the anti-Zionist protests, which, you know, you could make a real strong argument that there's some genuine anti-Semitism going on there. These pro-Hamas, anti-Israeli, there's the anti-Israeli people, the pro-Hamas people, and then the pro-Israel people, the anti-Zionists and the Zionists, on one of the university campuses. Now, this is all... It might have been Fox News or whatever it is. So you see this clash between these two factions, or not factions, these two opposed people, the people with opposing viewpoints. And as soon as it starts to get really violent, you hear this, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, both sides are calling it. So, in other words, in the United States of America, people... are not, it doesn't occur as if either side is as prone to violence, like real violence, real fucking violence. I'm not suggesting there isn't real violence here. Of course there is. But you see both sides of these university students being like, whoa, 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 as soon as it starts to actually come to blows. Like, in other words, they don't, like, we're kind of all the same. We see the humanity. We're here in defense of humanity. And then you see the cops come in and fuck people up. You know, and this is what pisses me off, because I do follow a lot of the conservative channels, and Megyn Kelly in particular. And, you know, she's feisty and opinionated and, you know, whatever, but imperfect. But I saw an episode where she was celebrating this, like, 65-year-old college professor who's yelling at the cops. The cop comes up and just fucking puts her in like an armbar and like slams her fucking, big fat fucking cop, slams her to the fucking ground and like starts handcuffing her. And she's screaming, I'm a professor, I'm a professor, I'm a professor. And then you see the people on Fox News laughing at that. There's nothing funny about a skinny old lady getting fucking brutalized by a cop. There's nothing fucking funny about that under any circumstances. And it's funny because, like, Fox News was starting to get my ear a little bit. And then I see that. I see them mocking this little old lady who got fucked up by a cop. Not even to suggest that maybe she shouldn't have been arrested. That's kind of part of the deal when you engage in civil disobedience anyway. And that was kind of their laughing point or their talking point. But still, there's that brutality element that they're laughing at. I didn't find anything fucking funny about it at all. So multiple things can be true at once. So I encourage you to go out into the world today and see how many true things you can identify. How many facts can you identify? And do your best to love your neighbor. You know, that's all, that's really, when you think about it, that's all, the only thing that we can do in this day and age is seek to love our neighbor as ourselves. And seek to understand instead of condemn. And I've certainly been guilty, right, of overstepping the seeking to understand piece. But, you know, it's just, it's life. It's, and if so much of life has to do, so much of the consequences we experience in life have to do with what happens when we get caught up in some bullshit. We get caught, you know, we get caught up in the bar. We get caught up with the bottle. We get caught up with the drugs. We get caught up in that bad relationship. We get caught up in some movement. We get caught up with some political cause. We got caught up with some cult. And we get caught up with this or that. And we, as a result of getting caught up, we're not present. We lose access to spirit or our higher self or our intuition. And then we experience consequences. Every consequence I've experienced comes as a result of me getting caught up in some shit. So try not to be caught up. And you could make, a good argument that the only thing that will prevent you from getting caught up is love, or assure that you don't get caught up is love. You know, I go to these recovery gatherings, these 12-step meetings, and there are very seldom cell phones going off in there occasionally, but for the most part, there aren't any. You don't hear cell phones dinging all the time, at least. Not the way that you would in a coffee shop. And I go in there and I hear the truth. I hear the frickin' truth. Or one arm of the one true truth. And then I take that truth and I go out in the world and I try to be good. And sometimes I get caught up. You're driving in your car, somebody cuts you off, you get caught up. You know, neighbors being noisy, you get caught up. You know, all of a sudden you get caught up in some altercation, right? And that's what's going on with these kids, these university protesters. They're just caught up in some shit. They're caught up in some TikTok. They're caught up in some Hamas. They're caught up in some terrorist shit. You know, other people on, you know, the cops, they're caught up in some law enforcement, and all of a sudden they fuck up some old lady and now they got that on their soul. They got a permanent mark. They got a demerit. You know, that fat piece of shit cop that roughed up that old man and that other fat piece of shit cop that fucked up that old lady, they are going to pay. They are going to pay. Because unless you're a sociopath, that sort of thing will wear on you. I was talking about this a few episodes ago. The book My Bondage and My Freedom by Frederick Douglass, which I picked up in the wake of the George Floyd stuff. I felt like it was like my patriotic duty or something. Great book. An amazing fucking writer, Frederick Douglass. But he talks about how United States Southern plantation slave owners would essentially, at the end of every day, be tormented by the fact that they owned people. They could not escape the fact that they owned people. It was this thing that fucked with them. And because that was not anything that they could reconcile within themselves, they became more and more brutal. So that brutality, the whipping and the lynching and all of that stuff, in a lot of ways was just an extreme form of projection. Got caught up in some KKK shit. got caught up in whipping somebody, like for real, that you don't escape the karmic consequences there. And every time my life is not going the way I would like it to go, there's some shit I've been caught up in. Anyway, thank you for listening. As always, I'll try to post more often. Magic Pisces Podcast. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
And just as the file was converting from the GarageBand file to the iTunes file for upload, I realized that I missed the initial point I wanted to make, or one of the major points. So this podcast started out where I was talking about Dr. David Hawkins and the Luciferian energy, right? So the Luciferian energy, again, you see it happening now with the migrant crisis, with the trans stuff, with it was happening before during COVID with the vax stuff, and now the police are defunded, And this all happened again as a result of this weaponization of compassion. And so the Hawkins talks about it in this chapter of I, Reality, and Subjectivity, entitled The Ego and Society, which is chapter 4, again, that this the far leftist energy, it operates as it operates as like a Trojan horse. So it sort of gets its foot, it gets a foothold, and then that opens the door. So it operates through trickery and deception. That's how the Luciferian energy operates, through trickery and deception. It then opens the door for satanic energy. Satanic energy is overtly hateful. And so that's what you're seeing, you know, in the footage from Queens, New York, or Staten Island, rather. Clanton, Staten Island. They're just like, fuck those fucking immigrants. Fuck those fucking Venezuelans. Fuck them fucking foreigners. We're going to fucking kill them. This is America. That's, you like my impression? That's an example. That's the satanic energy. It's overt. It doesn't pretend to be nice. It's overtly fucking hateful. And so the door has been opened. So the Luciferian energy feeds into the satanic energy and vice versa. I used to think that the energy of Trump was satanic. I don't believe that. I've kind of changed my tune on Trump. I just have. I don't know if I would call myself a Trump supporter, but my attitude has changed, because I think that there's something bigger going on, and I just think there's something bigger and weirder, and that he is not part of the, I don't believe he's necessarily part of the establishment. And I also think that he has allies. I think that there may very well be a battle between good and evil currently being waged beyond us with the leaders. And I think there's aliens involved, for real. I mean, at this point, you know, how could there not be aliens up in here? You know, I posted on Facebook the other day that we've surpassed 1984 and that we're heading into Blade Runner. Pretty soon I'm going to be banging replicants off of Tinder. It's going to be Tinder. Maybe I already have. Tinder's being populated with replicants. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch Blade Runner. Because it all seems to be happening. It all seems to be happening. You've got Robot, Terminator 2. It's a combination. We've passed 1984. We're now into Blade Runner and Terminator. Maybe Blade Runner, then Terminator. A war with robots. Some of this shit I'm watching robots do now, it's, you're going to have replicant X game participants. Replicant, you know, Red Bull games participants. They're just robots. Replicant is just a highly evolved robot. So, I mean, that's what it, back to the Luciferian paving the way for the satanic. It's very much what you can see. And, you know, I arguing sort of with my friend Shane, discussing with my friend Shane on Facebook a couple days ago. And I was just saying that I find that the conservatives, they just seem to be making more sense. And Shane, if you're listening, Shane, he was citing censorship, that they're banning books in, like, Florida or wherever. And I heard someone, a conservative, mention that, and he was saying how he heard that, so he went and did some research, and it was just entirely fallacious. It's like, that's just not true. Is that the right word, fallacious? That's not entirely true at all. It's like the Don't Say Gay bill. The Florida Don't Say Gay bill, I have it on my computer. It's like 3 pages long. It's not a very extensive bill. It doesn't say anything. The Don't Say Gay bill doesn't even use the word gay, and it doesn't say anything about not being able to say the word gay. It doesn't. All it says is that you can't teach sex ed to anyone below third grade. That's all it says. That's it. So if you're a person that thinks that a third grader or a second grader or a first grader or a kindergartner, that if you're a person who believes that your teacher should be able to talk to your kid's teacher should be able to talk to your 6-year-old about sex and homosexuality, you know, and gender identity and trans stuff, if you believe that your kindergarten teacher should be able to talk to your 7-year-old or 6-year-old or 5-year-old and 4-year-old about sex stuff, more power to you, I guess. But that's all the bill says. It just says you can't talk about sex to kindergartners. Basically, it even has a clause within it that says, in special instances of potential abuse, it is okay for a teacher to not talk to keep information from a parent. So it even addresses that little nuance. Like it says, yeah, there are certain cases where it's going to be in the child's best interest that the teacher not say anything. But that's really all I saw. I don't know if it even had a part in it about a teacher needing to disclose if a child comes to school, a boy comes to school dressed as a girl, if the teacher needs to tell the parent. I don't think that's even in it anyway. You could find it. I mean, just Google it and or email me and I'll send it to you, or text me or message me or whatever. I'll send it to you. You can read it. But my point is that there's nothing in this bill about not saying anything gay. And so it was just hilarious after I read it, seeing all these people be like, I'm in Florida and I'm saying gay, yay. And it's like, you would look a hell of a lot stupider if there weren't 200 million people that believed the exact same thing that you believe, or 100 million people, or 150 million people, hundreds of millions of people, over 100, over 50 at least, think the same thing. It's just a lie. There's nothing in it that says that. Nothing. And so why am I supposed to believe anything? So I start snooping around. And again, always using Dr. Hawkins as sort of a point of reference, or a placeholder in the conversation. The calibrated level of calibrated levels of consciousness, and the muscle test as access to truth. And yeah, so just, you know, take what you will from this, and read that chapter, and then get at me. Anyway, talk to you soon. Bye.